Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Wednesday, June the 3rd. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. First on the episode, the owners of a seafood business in Hythe have told Kent Online that a video posted on social media by the local MP about so-called dodgy shops has contributed to their decision to close. Now, Boathouse Fisheries opened a fishmongers and bistro on the High Street in February last year. Lucy joins me now with more on this story. So, Lucy, what more have the owners had to say?
Well, they've told us that after 16 months in the town, they're closing down because of rising business rates, higher wages, increasing energy bills and reduced footfall. However, they've also criticised a video posted online by MP Tony Vaughan. In the selfie footage, which has now been deleted, he talked about suspected illegal activity on the High Street. He went on to encourage residents to report concerns about dodgy shops amid allegations some stores were selling illegal vapes and cut-price cigarettes. While the MP did not allege Boathouse Fisheries was one of the suspected businesses, the Hythe branch did feature in the background of the footage, and that angered director Lee Honeyball. She felt it was unfair to even be associated with such an issue and asked Mr Vaughan to delete the footage and publicly apologise. The video has since been removed.
And what has Mr Vaughan had to say about it all?
He says he's saddened to hear the company has decided to close its Hythe facility and has described the company as respected and admired. He's also confirmed he would be happy to meet with the owners to discuss their concerns. Since posting the Hythe video, he's also shared one while walking in Folkestone.
There's so much to be proud about from our high streets here in Folkestone, Hythe and Romney Marsh, like these shops here behind me. But I'm hearing from more and more of you about dodgy shops that are springing up, which are doing things like selling illegal vapes to under 18-year-olds and £5 packets of cigarettes, which are obviously unlawful and are damaging local businesses which are doing legitimate trade. So it's really important that if you see anything that needs to be investigated, then please do get in touch so that the appropriate action can be taken.
As you heard, he stresses businesses visible in the background are reputable traders and a source of pride for the town.
And finally, Lucy, what's the future for Boathouse Fisheries?
Well, they're going to be returning all of their operations to their Romney Marsh base in St Mary's Bay. They've also told us they will continue to attend farmers' markets across the county. Mrs Honeyball says they remain grateful for the support they've received from customers in both Hythe and across Kent.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. Quite a few of you having a comment on this story today. You can read those and add your views at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and two men accused of murdering a young dad in Whitstable have pleaded not guilty in court. Ashton Harrington was found with stab wounds in Belmont Road in the early hours of Good Friday. A 19 and 21-year-old who were arrested in Sittingbourne 10 days later, are due to go on trial in November. A man who filmed himself sexually assaulting a woman when he lived in Kent has been jailed. The victim discovered the footage, which she hadn't consented to, several years after it happened. Warren Conn, who's 50 and had moved from Sandwich to Lurgan in County Armagh, has been locked up for 14 years. A British couple jailed on spying charges in Iran have lost an appeal against their convictions. Craig and Lindsay Foreman were detained during a round-the-world trip in January last year and deny allegations of espionage. Lindsay's son, Joe Bennett, who lives in Folkestone, says the couple weren't allowed to attend their appeal hearing. Two ducks have died after being attacked with catapults in Sheerness. Police were called to the Fleet near Hawthorne Avenue on Saturday and have been examining CCTV footage. A pair of ducklings were also injured. Officers want to speak to two boys who were seen in the area. Now, after more than a dozen people lost their lives in water during the recent heatwave, children in a part of Kent are being taught about how to stay safe in the sea. Experts are visiting Sheldon and Northbourne primary schools in Deal over the next 2 days. The aim is to run the Sea Sense programme in all coastal parts of the country so youngsters know about things like riptides, currents and waves. William Thompson is the founder of Tide School. He's been speaking to Lucy.
We have a tide school method, which is the simple way of teaching the sea, and it's the five elements that change the situation from hour to hour, day by day, week by week. So it's tides, streams, which are the currents that flow along the shore made by the tides, winds, waves and rip currents. So of those five things, the kids learn what makes each one what affects it and how it shapes the beach. So one moment they'll go down there and it will be safe, and then an hour or two later, exactly the same place, one of those elements would have changed, and it then creates a danger. And it's teaching the kids so they can understand when it's safe to go to particular places and when to stay away from other places.
What sort of age group are we talking about here?
Primary school is the best because it fits in with their curriculum, and we normally do years 4, 5, and 6. We can go lower, so some small schools. We've done some really small schools in Scotland, up in the Orkney Isles, and the whole school did it because there are so few people in each class, so it can go down. And one of our coaches said that the young kids, the really young ones, in year one, they kind of understood the basics of like the moon phases, but the details kind of were passed on them. But we can go up to age 18 as well, so the learning is for all ages. So I developed it with adults, and we've developed these demonstrations where you become the water particles. So people move in with the waves and then they go out with the rip currents, or one's the sun, one's the moon, one's the earth, and the moon orbits the earth. And we learn about spring tides. So when it's a full moon, you get really powerful tides, and then a week later, you get weak tides. So it's all movement based. So it really works for all ages.
How important is it to teach this at a young age? Because that's something you're going to remember for the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. When I started doing my tide school, it was more geared towards adults, and I realized that we were missing a huge chunk. So, for example, I did a tide walk a few years ago, and one of the ladies was crying at the end, and she came up to me and she said, about 15 years ago, she was swimming with her fiance, and they got caught in a rip current, and he drowned because he did the wrong thing. And it made me realize that it's great to teach 40, 50-year-olds who are starting sea swimming and paddleboarding and, kind of getting that resurgence. But actually, there's this huge chunk of time when you're at risk. So by teaching the kids young, sort of 8, 9, 10 years old, even though they're not going to remember everything in the workshop, it builds on that understanding. So, for example, with rip currents, you get the waves break and they push the water in. So where there's white water, it's the water's being pushed in, and then it flows out through a rip where there aren't any waves. So the big mistake people make is that they go to a surf beach, they see all these waves, and then they see a calm patch and they think, oh, the waves look scary, so I'll go into the calm patch. So they step right into the danger. And it's something that we can teach them as a child, to warning. So in all our workshops, the big warning is if there are no waves on a surf beach, that's a rip current, and expect to be taken out to sea. And they'll remember that for life.
Yeah, it's such a vital skill, especially children here in Kent and down in Deal and those areas on the coast. I mean, we've got such a huge coastline, and in the summer, lots of people will be going to the beach, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just those elements. So in the last week, the media reports are different, but between 10 and 15 young people drowned over the bank holiday and the half term. And one of the big things that one of the causes they think it is jumping straight into the water, and it creates something called cold shock response. And with our program, we do the workshop in the school on the day, the Sea Sense Day, and then I send a Sea Sense pack every month with sort of seasonal safety knowledge. And actually this month's one, so the ones who have already done it in May, they got basically about cold water shock. And it's the idea is that you don't jump straight in because the water takes a lot longer to warm up than the air. So on a really hot, like last week, the air was really hot. So everyone thinks, oh, the sea's going to warm up as well. So you jump in, but the sea is still really cold from the winter. And that heat difference between the air and the water creates this big gasp reflex, and it can cause drowning. So instead, you just want to get in slowly and acclimatize and go up to your waist. Sometimes you splash water on your shoulders or your face, and then when your body's used to the cold, then you can, jump and play around. But it's the simple knowledge like that in the summer that keeps people safe.
Kent Online reports.
Two people have been taken to hospital following a crash which has caused major delays in Medway. Police and paramedics were called after two vans collided on the Wainscott bypass just before 3 a.m. The road was closed earlier for investigation works and to clear an oil spillage. A Sheerness man who carried out a campaign of abuse against his wife has been jailed. Christopher Robinson subjected his victim to physical and emotional attacks, sometimes forcing their children to watch. The 36-year-old from Invicta Road has been locked up for 3 years and 4 months and given a 10-year restraining order. An investigation's underway after a 12-year-old boy was handcuffed by police while playing with an abandoned road sign in Sevenoaks. The boy's mum says she was called by officers after it happened while her son was with friends in Buckhurst Lane. She's made an official complaint about how he was treated. Kent police say they'd been called to reports of a sign being stolen and five young people were stopped, given words of advice and allowed to move on. A drug dealer from North Kent has been ordered to hand over more than £72,000 he made through crime or face extra time in prison. Julian Warwick is serving a 10-year sentence after pleading guilty to conspiracy to supply cocaine. The 56-year-old from Regent Square in Belvedere was arrested in 2021. He's got 3 months to pay up. Days after yet another fire broke out at a derelict school in Medway, the company that owns the site are being told to take action. The blaze at the former St John Fisher in Chatham sent huge plumes of smoke into the sky on Saturday. In fact, if you live in the towns and you were in the area over the weekend, you may well have seen it. Developers were previously ordered by the council last September to demolish the building after getting permission to build homes there. So far, work still hasn't started. Now, next on today's episode, and plans for a huge solar farm on Greenbelt land near Sevenoaks have been rejected. It's after a previous decision on the proposals for farmland between Ridley and New Ash Green were pushed back. Well, Ian and Claire Furness were among those who spoke at last night's meeting.
All the footpaths will be fenced either side, so it'll be like walking through corridors. It's just a travesty when it's not a good site for a solar farm by all accounts, because it's a valley and it's hilly.
Just around this area, we've lost so much countryside to solar already. Where do we draw the line? We need somewhere to, you know, for recreation, walking,
and
cycling.
Farming.
Farming, horses, everything. Yeah. It loses so much.
The people behind the project had said the 72,000 panels would produce enough power for more than 17,000 homes. Conservative councillor Michael Hallward spoke to the local Democracy Reporting Service following the vote.
This is the risk of any planning committee making any decision. It's the pressures that we are all faced under as members when we make these decisions. We don't take them lightly, and the debate here tonight reflected the concerns that, you know, if we get this wrong. But as I said earlier, you can't put a price tag on democracy. You know, local residents in their thousands of this district have objected to this application. I do think we have very strong grounds for refusal, and I am confident that we will have a good case to fight it at appeal.
Local MP Tom Tugendhat had also previously said he was opposed to the project, saying it would have fundamentally changed the character of the area around Hartley, Ridley, New Ash Green, Ash and Hodsall Street.
Kent Online reports.
An event's taking place later to raise money for a family in Kent so they can adapt their home for a little boy with a rare genetic condition. Sid Cook has SMA type 1, the same thing former Little Mix star Jessie is campaigning about after her twins were diagnosed. A bike night is taking place at the Star in Matfield. Proceeds will help pay for an extension and lift, bedroom and bathroom. A Kent school's been given £25,000 to build a space so children with complex learning needs can train to get a job in the food industry. 5 Acre Wood in Maidstone is one of the first in the UK to get the cash from the Costa Foundation. It'll be used to transform an existing teaching kitchen into a commercial training area for 11 to 19 year olds who'll sell cakes, sandwiches and soups at their train carriage cafe. And a rarely seen portrait of Anne Boleyn has gone on display at the castle in Kent where she grew up. The so-called Lyndhurst portrait is part of the Capturing a Queen exhibition at Hever. It's been restored and will be on show until the end of the year.
Kent Online Sports.
Football First Up and Gillingham have added to their squad ahead of next season. Zane Alboros has signed a 2-year deal from Brighton and Hove Albion. The 20-year-old midfielder says he's looking forward to impressing at Priestfield and has been speaking to their media team.
I'm so excited to be able to join and be on board with everyone next season. I think it's most exciting for me because it's going to be my first opportunity in the senior team and playing EFL football. So being able to adapt, I think, from 21's football into a senior team, I'm excited for.
Yeah, you've got a big smile on your face. What is it about the challenge that excites you most?
I feel like mainly just being able to get minutes and playing where points matter. Having to play with something mattering behind it is, I can't wait, excited for it.
Well, Zane, of course, you leave Brighton and Hove Albion. You've been there a few years. I'm sure you leave with a heavy heart. I'm sure you've got some good memories there.
Oh, yeah, 100%. To be fair, most recently, won the PL2 playoff finals with them. And that was a really special moment, to be fair, to be able to play with all my teammates for one last dance and be able to win a trophy. And to be fair as well, two seasons ago now, being able to win a trophy at Hong Kong seven aside was fun as well. But so I'd say the best memories are when you're winning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you're a Jill now. What's Gareth Ainsworth had to say to you? Have you spoken to him much?
Yeah, I have spoken to him. In fact, the first time when I came here, it was really good conversation. I felt like he's such a genuine person when I was speaking to him. And knowing that first he has trust in my abilities is something I thought was really important when deciding where I wanted to go next. So just having the faith in a manager that wants you and where I could hopefully play and display my abilities is so important for me, I think. So I really like him, yeah.
You're a young lad. Do you know any of the boys in the dressing room? Have you played against any of them before from memory?
From memory, not really, because the only time I would have played in a senior type of environment would be in EFL Trophy games. Didn't quite play against Gillingham, but maybe a few when they was at previous clubs, I think would have played against.
For those fans who haven't seen you play before, what can fans expect from you? What do you consider to be your strengths as a player? Mm.
Well, I feel like just as a minimum, hard working, I put 110% into everything that I do. I can be quite tenacious, to be fair, as well. I like to put in a heavy challenge when I can. Hopefully that gets the fans going as well. And I feel like my versatility as well, the fact that I'm able to adapt, and I think that'll be important going into a senior team as well, if I want to get as many minutes as possible too.
Andy Crofton, of course, at Brighton. Has he said anything to you about the move?
Yeah, we spoke briefly just before I was leaving, actually, as well. And he just wished me all the best in terms of, firstly, joining a club that he's already played at previously as well. So he said it's a brilliant club and I'm excited to join us.
It's been a busy time at the Jewels. They've also announced Stephen Craig is joining as their new assistant manager. The former striker has worked with boss Gareth Ainsworth in the past and says he can't wait to get started.
You're here. It's raining, sadly. But just give us your first thoughts having joined us.
Oh, just delighted to get done and dusted. I got the call about 2 or 3 weeks ago from the gaffer, asking if I would be interested, and it's just kind of snowballed from there. So it's nice to come down for the second time. Brought the rubbish weather with me this time. But just can't wait to get started.
It's a big move for you, coming all the way from Scotland. Not one that you can commute, but obviously you felt it was the right opportunity at the right time.
It was. Like I just alluded to you before, it came out the blue. The chance to go back full time down south, working with the gaffer, Dobbo and Waitsy again, just too good an opportunity to turn down.
Obviously you've been at Gala Ferry Dean for a while now. Do you leave with a heavy heart? I'm sure you've got a lot of good memories there and met a lot of good people.
We do. It's a fantastic club, run by amazing people. And you're right, I will leave with a heavy heart working with the manager, Jimmy Scott, and the other coaches. Was there a long time and it was a successful time for us. But like I said, you just to come back in a full-time environment south of the border, it was just too good to turn down.
Obviously, you've played under Gareth Ainsworth before during your time at Wickham as a striker. You're familiar with his methods and his values, not just as a football manager, but as a human being as well.
Yeah, I've always kept in touch with the gaffer ever since we parted ways at Wickham. And it's a kind of similar story. That was kind of how he sent me the dream to come down here. My first season at Wickham was, we stayed up in the last game of the season. And in the following season, we got to the playoff final. So it was kind of, this is what we want. Can you come down and replicate that? But this time as a coach. It was, like I said, it's just, it was a brilliant opportunity for myself. I've met most of the staff now. I'm just looking forward to pre-season and meeting all the players.
You've alluded to it slightly there, but what excites you most about this opportunity?
I think seeing what's happened probably the last year, I know what Gaz and Dobbo and Waitsy bring at the table, and just seeing the facilities here and the infrastructure. I think the end result, what everybody wants next year, they want to see progression. And I'm sure that the fans and owner will see progression this year. Gaz is, I think, except the exception of two players, I think everyone else in the squad is the gaffer's signing. So it just bodes well for, just hope we can have a healthy and, a good pre-season and then get a really good start.
And finally, Kent cyclist Matthew Richardson has been called up by Team England for this summer's Commonwealth Games. He previously won medals for Australia but was born in Maidstone and has now changed allegiances. The 27-year-old will be looking to defend his individual sprint title at the Games in Glasgow. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.